Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I was cheated by you, and I think you know when. Look at me now. Will I ever learn? I don't know how, but I suddenly lose control. There's a fire within my soul.
Come on, girl!
Just one look and I can hear a bell ring.
I've never felt closer to my mom. She wasn't scared because she had me.
Mama Mia, here I go again. My, my, how can I resist?
We can't tell anybody else about the baby, okay?
I just told Bill.
Yeah, and I told Harry. And I told many, many people.
Whoa, Mama Mia, here I go again.
Let's get the party started.
Grandma, you weren't invited.
That's the best kind of party, little girl.
I should not have let you go.
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond films and Bond-related films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them. Hosted by me, John Rain. This week we'll be packing our auto-tunes and heading to Greece, while also embracing time travel, hair fetishes, piercing blue eyes, and green screens. Yes, it's Mamma Mia, here we go again. And joining me to break into song during entirely inappropriate times, it's comedy writer and dancing queen, Sarah Morgan. Hello, Sarah.
Hiya, John.
Now, this is sort of an unspoken contract that we drew up when we made the first one.
I feel like, well, yeah, we're here again. This had to be done. We did. We said we were going to do this, probably at a time when the nation needed it the most.
Yeah, and I think because it's locked down again.
Here we go. Yeah, exactly. The whole film is, I feel like you've broken the glass. The emergency has come that the glass needed to be broken and we had to do this.
We had to do it.
Yeah, for the sake of the nation. We're like Joe Wicks. The Joe Wicks of taking the piss out of, you know, musicals.
We're the Joe Wicks, except this is very much that clip that someone found the other day of Joe Wicks unfortunately letting a big fart out before we do the show today. That is very much this film.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a way, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is basically, it's very lockdown too. It's the same elements as the first one, but it's, there's a touch of, there's a hint that the milk of human kindness might have run a bit thin.
Like,
everyone's a bit tired.
No,
people aren't clapping as much as they were in the first one.
No,
they're sort of just tired and just be gentle. Can we just be gentle and kind in this one rather than all the?
And one of them is very much, Do I have to be in it?
Yeah, I mean, Piers is, it, you know, we're supposed to be focusing on Piers, and he's sort of, you know, he's there and he's having a brilliant time and he's very much holding this together. The dads hold this one together.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
It's very zaddy, as I think they say on the internet now.
It's packed full of dilfs.
It's big dad energy.
Yeah.
Up the wizard.
Oh, God. So we begin the film, much like we began the first one, with Sophie doing stuff, except this time she's sadly singing, "Thank you for the music," because she's preparing for the grand reopening of her mum's hotel. We don't. Do we ever find out why it wasn't open? Is it just because she popped her clogs?
Yeah, so we open on the news that Donna, very much the hero of the first film, Meryl Streep, has died, which is a great way to start your film. But obviously, Meryl was not available and people wanted to make some money. So everyone else was available. So they sort of worked around it by starting the film up with this absolute bummer. And then...
Not literally.
Oh, John. She's lamenting. So this girl who... though she looks 12 like she did in the first one, was now about 30, maybe 40, 50.
I'd argue she looks a lot older in this one than the first one.
She looks like a bush baby, but a tired one now.
Very tired.
So she is reopening her mum's hotel on an island that she hasn't left her entire life for 30, 40 years, 50 years. And so she's thinking, while she's reopening her hotel, as we all do in these very relatable storylines, she starts thinking about the fuck that made her, her dead mum did. It's like looking back on my dead mum's fucks to remind me why I'm opening this hotel. That's the plot of Mamma Mia 2. A woman laments her dead mum's fucks.
Can we put that on the poster?
To the music of ABBA.
Yeah. I'm not even here we go again. Tagline. Woman laments her mum's fucks.
Yeah, or just sort of muses upon what they meant to her.
Yeah,
as we all do. I mean, it's the plot of this is completely insane and not worth getting hung up on. Like, if you liked the first film, then this film will try and make you feel the same way. And the plot is, I don't know if you've done as much reading up on Mamma Mia 2 as I have, apparently Richard Curtis's daughter came up with the idea of the plot of Mamma Mia 2.
I saw that he is one of the screenwriters.
Yeah, so he wrote the first one, although he adapted it from a musical, and then so the script was sort of already in place. And the plot to this one, apparently he was talking to his daughter in the car. And saying, how do we do Mamma Mia 2? Well, Meryl Streep doesn't do sequels. So how do we do this? And she said, why don't you do The Godfather Part 2? Which I haven't seen. I have seen Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, like 900 times, but I've not seen Godfather Part 2. But I think I like how lofty that is.
to be fair to them, Godfather Part 2 is all about how many people Marlon Brando had sex with.
Marlon Brando fucks three strangers and Christine Baranski's in it, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
And Julie Walters falls off a jet ski. I remember that. That's a first one.
But we also meet Senor Cienfuegos.
It means 100 fires.
100 fires. Andy Garcia, he is very much doing his hello, I am Andy Garcia, even though I do not sound like this really.
Yeah, he sounds like sort of... Is Andy Garcia Hispanic? That's a really stupid question, but...
Yeah, he is.
He's sort of... But he's still doing, like, a fake Spanish accent. Like, he's doing Manuel.
Yeah.
He's sort of... Hello, I am a mysterious Spanish man.
Hotel is clean.
Exactly.
This is Donna the Rat.
He is. He's Manuel. He's a little Spanish man working in a hotel.
Yeah.
With unrealistic facial hair.
Yeah, and a hat. Yeah. So he's got a hat as well. Remember that.
He's got a hat and a crumpled suit. And he's, to be fair, everyone is leaning into their parts perfectly. Like it is panto, this whole thing. It doesn't make any sense. Everyone's playing the wrong ages. There's one wig shared between three women.
Yes.
It is like a village fate panto that's just like an hour and a half too long.
It feels like one of those awful things Richard Curtis did for Children in Need. Like, I'm going to do a sequel to...
It's like...
Four Weddings.
With Doctor Who in it or something.
There's
just a bit... It's too much green screen. Like, there's too many famous people on green screen doing their one line. That's exactly what this film is. There's too many famous people on green screen doing their one line. It doesn't need to be 2 hours long. This should be an hour. And it would be delightful. But I did the first time I saw it again, just as with the first one, if you're a bit drunk and you're with my mum, not your mum, but my mum in particular. Yeah. I mean, but if you're with my mum and you're a bit drunk on baby sham and brandy, it's called a wicked lady, then it's quite good. And if you're feeling a bit sad and lockdowny, it might tip you over. There's an edge that it might tip you over, and I don't know which way you're going to go over
that edge. Well, I'd argue that the first film is that, because it's got charm and it's got an energy, whereas this one feels like a beast. It is a B-side, because all the songs are, apart from the ones they recycle, are not ABBA's greatest songs, are they?
They are clever enough to do the good songs from the first film again. They, like, everyone just wants to hear those songs again, that's fine. Yeah. You can't hear Dancing Queen too many times. No. It's literally impossible. But yeah, then there's a lot of... It's not ABBA gold anymore. We're on the ABBA tape you'd get from like a petrol station.
Exactly, yeah.
The sort of cheap ABBA songs. I've never heard of any of these ABBA songs before.
But Sophie comes down the stairs to see Señor and Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
And they're lamenting the death of her mother by looking at a photo taken from the end of the first film.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like in Neighbours when they use like someone's headshot.
Yeah.
To show that the character's dead.
Yeah.
Like no dignity whatsoever for Meryl Streep.
She would be so proud of you.
She'll be so proud of you. And then, yes. And then so the plot here is, again, with sequels, you know, like the plot of the first one, it's Sophie wondering if she should marry the love of her life and finding out who her dads are. That's two very big goals that are very relatable. The dad thing, not so relatable, but, you know, dads and daughters, relatable. The plot of this one is, I'm worried about my hotel opening. Who gives a fuck? Yeah. I'm worried about my hotel opening, and my boyfriend seems unsupportive because he's got a really good job offer in New York, being an actual proper hotel manager.
Yeah.
And so the whole film is her being sad about this boyfriend, whether he's going to support her opening her hotel on a tiny Greek island. It's not as relatable as should I get married or not.
No, and she wants to do her mother proud
with
the hotel opening. So it's a big deal to her. But before we can really focus on that,
of course, yeah,
we then flash back to 1979.
We now have a year when all this happened, because in the first one, it's all over the shop, isn't it? Various periods in history. She is a Time Lord, as far as you know. Donna, Meryl Streep in the first one is a Time Lord, and yeah.
I mean, I've got so much to say about that, but yeah, because we then go to Oxford, New College, Oxford, where Donna got an A. We hear that she was always late for everything. She's late for her own sort of graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
And Celia Emery is doing the voice of like a wise old goose in a farm film.
Oh, it's just nice to get a dose of Celia Imrie, though, isn't it? You know, when you're watching something and Celia Imrie pops up and you're like, oh, my heart. So it's nice.
One of the teachers is Benny.
That's right. Yeah, and then they sing Then I Kiss the Teacher, ABBA's second most problematic song.
Yeah, also one of their most famous songs. Everyone was so pleased to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there with Does Your Mother Know in terms of maybe times are different now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do get a kiss between, what's she called? Young Donna, baby Donna, and Celia Imrie, which is fun.
Is it Lily something? Lily Rose?
Lily Savage.
Yeah. Yeah, she kisses Celia Imrie, and she seems to have magic powers, because then Celia Imrie does that kind of classic judge ripping up the paper and saying everybody's free, because she then jumps up and grabs a feather boa and starts singing herself.
It's the power of ABBA, even power shitty ABBA B-sides.
And they dance.
And they child abuse.
Exactly. Yeah. From the Fritzl album they did.
from the abusive position of power album, including Does Your Mother Know?
And yes,
Richard Curtis
was involved, as is his track record. So they have this big song and dance number. It then moves out to a sort of bicycle related dance number.
Yeah, it's like the Muppets. They're all on bikes. Everyone loves people on bikes, but they're humans on bikes, so it's slightly less impressive.
But they all are all on strings, though, so they kept the feeling alive. And then they end up on a barge doing a number.
And then they fall into some water, which is traditional for a Mamma Mia film. There's a lot of people falling into water at all times, because that is fun, apparently.
It is.
Falling into water is quite fun. Mm. You fall in the water.
You do, Jim. We also find out from Sophie, it's also saying her, she's written and invites people to come to the hotel. She writes one for her grandmother, Rosie, and then says, oh, she never comes. And then her mum doesn't even, Rosie, Meryl Streep's mum, doesn't come to her graduation. And then she tells her friends, mum didn't come, she never comes. And I thought, oh, poor mum.
Yeah, I mean, in the first film, we know. Oh, were you being rude there? Were you being saucy?
Yeah, I was,
oh, you're being saucy. Yeah. Like it. I mean, there's so many. Considering how many single entendres there are on this film,
yeah.
Christine Baranski's big line coming up in a bit.
Yes.
There was quite a lot of unintentional double entendres because no one really did a second draft of the script. It's all so first draft.
Definitely.
Sort of tossed off in a couple of days with Two Star. There's a great one coming up in a bit with, it's actually from a deleted scene with Piers. It gets very incesty. Anyway, so she's, where are we now? We're all over time and space at this point.
Well, yeah, we're in 1979 and she says to young Julie Walters and Christine Baranski, I'm going to travel the world because I is a free spirit in it.
Oh, that's right, because her mum in the first one, we are told in the first one by in no uncertain terms that her mum is a bad mum who does not let her do things like go to an island and get pregnant. She doesn't approve of that, funnily enough. Like, you know, a cool mum would be fine with their 18-year-old daughter who's just graduated getting knocked up by a stranger and living on an island forever. But in the first one, we know that she's not. She's all we know about the mum. Ruby Sheridan.
Oh, Ruby. It's not Rosie. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
No, Rosie is Julie Walters.
Rosie is Julie character. Walters.
So
yeah, she says, "I'm going to travel the world."
It's bad screenwriting to have your characters have the first same name,
Yeah, absolutely. She says, "I'm going to travel."
Take that.
At least there's no rape in this. she says she's going to travel the world, and then the next sentence says, "I'm going to go to Paris." You didn't go very far, did you?
No, she got a sea cat over to super sea cat over to Paris.
Yeah. Oh God, the things in this to show that it's 1979 are all over the
amazing.
Shop.
Amazing, beautiful,
just unbelievable. So then we cut back to the present, and Sky is Dominic Cooper.
Yeah,
Little sprout faced man.
And you know that he's been corrupted by New York because he's drinking from a tiny little cafetiere. That shows that someone's fallen to, like, you know, the posh life.
He's not drinking out of a jug.
He's not drinking goat's milk out of a goat.
No.
Like you do in Greece.
But he says he can't be at the hotel opening because he has to train for 6 weeks to be a hotel man.
Yeah.
And he's been offered a permanent job and he wants to say yes. And then she talks, but they then have some exposition about how Sophie's mum died just a year ago. And he says, you know, he basically says she's going to be dead forever, right?
Yeah.
You need to get over yourself.
Yeah, maybe get off the island you've lived on now for your entire life and some kind of horrible tribute to your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after their brief conversation, they both have a song of One of Us.
Yeah.
Which is really boring. Yeah.
Oh, it's so boring.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone.
Yeah. Sing along if you know the words.
Oh. Everyone's sitting in the cinema with their white wines and their little popcorn going.
Can we have a song we know, please? So then we cut back to the present and Julie Walters and Christine Baranski arrive to see Sophie.
And they're having a nice time.
They're talking about. There's a bit here where she's like, Julie Walters' thing is she can't talk about Donna without crying.
Yeah, good line.
Yes.
Good gag.
She keeps crying, and then they're met at they're driving along, and then out of a truck steps Andy Garcia, and this is where Christine Baranski.
Oh yeah, there's a flamenco guitar noise as must happen when a Spanish person appears, and then Christine Baranski delivers the. Well, it's a line, isn't it?
She says, be still, my beating vagina. And he's like, oh, hello, I am very sexy Spanish man. I just did in a French accent. I am sexy
so
Spanish.
So does he. It's fine. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I am here to say hello.
So they really go deep on right. I mean, that line is just, it's sort of, it's like they sort of watched Sex and the City 2 and went, you know what, we could turn this up. A bit more up on the faders of the kind of like awful things that a woman would never actually say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just make her into like a horrible randy cartoon character.
To be fair, she has nothing to do in this, so.
No, I mean, the next line is something like having washed and sent to my tent.
That's
at least is there something to that. Anyway, yeah, he's still my beating vagina. That's going to be on her grave from now on, on her gravestone.
It'll be when she passes away, it'll be in her Oscar.
Yeah. Oscar clips.
Yeah.
There's a lovely bit though when he says, I'm senior, senior, what's it, sanky fuego.
He is, senor, sin fuego.
It means 100 fires.
And they're all like, yeah? Ooh. Sorry, you women usually like it when I say that, but okay, never mind.
Yeah, and he clearly has a lot of pain because he tells you he has a lot of pain, but that's sort of all, So that's fun. There's so much going on.
Well, there is, because then we cut back to 1979.
Yeah.
Donna's in Paris, or Anna in Paris, or Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris. Yeah. She's in green screen Paris. There's the Eiffel Tower. There's some men on bicycles with onions around their necks.
Yeah.
Having affairs or eating a wheel of brie. It's all very French. Yeah. Hoppy hoppy ho.
she goes into the hotel and the concierge is a snail. No, that's not true. And she's at the desk and then a man comes down the stairs and it's Harry, young Harry. Who is, can I say this, not very good?
He's the florid-cheeked young posh boy from W1A. And I think he's quite good in that. So it's hard to tell if he's good in this or not, because the material he's working with is so odd. And there's so many layers to his character. It's like, please play a young Colin Firth. And we need to imply that, as in the first one where we reveal the character's gay, that he might be bisexual, he might be attracted to Donna, but it feels more like they're suggesting he's been on a journey.
Yeah.
That maybe he discovers down the line that he's gay and was never really attracted to women.
Yeah, I'll correct myself there. I'll say it's not him, it's his part.
It's the part. Is, yeah, so he's doing a lot with the, you know, he's playing young, sexually open, discovering, I don't know, exploring his sexuality by sleeping with young Meryl Streep. So fancying her, but yet sort of with a hint that later on in life he may identify as 100% gay.
Now, Sarah, in the first film, when she talks about when she met Harry, he's a punk.
Yes.
In this, he's not a punk.
He's wearing a leather jacket, John. That is enough.
He's got a t-shirt with like a punky picture on it.
Yeah, it's like an H&M punk t-shirt with like the picture of the Queen on it.
Exactly. He's as far away as a punk as you could possibly be in 1979.
Very small leather jacket.
He looks like Brett Anderson.
Yeah. And he falls in love with her at first sight, but then I think later on says, "You're the only woman I'll ever love," or something, while winking heavily at the camera.
Well, he says, and it's very Richard Curtis, he said, "I think we should spend the night together." And he says, "In fact, you'd be doing me a huge favour as I am a virgin."
That is very Richard Curtis, isn't it?
Very.
They're going to trick you into bed.
You'd be doing me a huge favour. And he's very much playing it like, it feels like it's written like Hugh Grant in Four Weddings, the way he talks.
Yeah. There's also, as they brilliantly point out in the comic relief vicious takedown of this film, that they get around the fact that you can't put Waterloo in a film set in Greece by having them singing in a Napoleon-themed restaurant.
Napoleon-themed. As soon as they walked in and the concierge was dressed as Napoleon, I thought, oh, God, no, don't.
How are we going to get... Oh, don't. You're better than that, Mamma Mia. No,
you haven't. Because I've written here in my notes here, Waterloo, fuck my life. I should
not have let you go. It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Richard Curtis, we've got a lady in a wheelchair as well. he likes to put those in his films.
Well, whoever's decision it was to have a wheelchair user, person in a wheelchair, thank you, John, a wheelchair user dancer in that sequence is well-intentioned, but then we spend the whole thing cutting back to a hotel that is essentially on the, you know, at the top of a very steep hill with loads of steps. So yeah. She's welcome to be in their dance when they're coursing, but she's not welcome to the hotel opening. No, this character not. Who we see for 2 seconds. And it's that horrible, yes. Apparently in the, what's the Richard Curtis film that has a character who's a wheelchair user?
Notting Hill.
That actor is not a wheelchair user.
No, Gina McKee, she is not.
Yeah, and a friend of mine who was in that film was an extra who is a wheelchair user was not happy about that.
Jesus
Christ. Richard Curtis says that's the worst thing he's ever done if he ever employs me to work for
is that like is that called wheel company. Face
I'm gonna ask around what that's called.
I think I'm gonna call it wheel face.
Okay, I'm laughing at you saying that, not with you saying
fine. It's not offensive. I'm sticking up for people who should be playing people in wheelchairs. That's what I'm saying.
Wheelchair users.
Wheelchair users should be playing people who are wheelchair users. There we go. This is the point of the
you're
film.
There's no point to this film, John.
Well, no, this is the point of the film. Okay. Where I remember that the thing about these kind of musicals is that one person will dance and break into song and dance, and it's the job of the other person to go, what are you doing? And then you get this really menacing bit where he's singing Waterloo behind Donna next to a piano, so it really looks like he's bumming her. And then the pianist turns to the camera and it's Bjorn.
Yeah.
And he gives a really menacing smile, like, you're like a looking at her getting bummed. It's really, I took a screenshot of it and tweeted it, just, you know, the fizz up ass corner. I'm horrible. Glad.
Yeah, it's he looks so much like Chaz or Dave, I'm not sure which one, that Chaz. For a minute I was like, what an interesting cameo.
Chaz, imagine Chaz being in Mamma Mia. Actually, it would have been better.
Everyone else is in this film.
Ah. Yeah. So then after their Waterlooing.
Yeah, and she deflowers him.
She deflowers him, and he says. She's sexually liberated.
So that's fuck number one that could possibly be the fuck that makes
Sophie
in the future. Mm. Yeah.
He says,
keep track of this, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
It's important for later.
She should have done this. We're doing her work for her.
She should have rubbered up, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. But it was a different time. It was 1979.
Yeah, no condoms weren't invented then.
No, and despite how everyone looks and behaves, it's 1979.
Someone goes past on a penny farthing.
Fucking hell. I mean, I'll say it now. There's about 10 scenes in this based in 1979 where everyone's got wireless microphones. And it annoyed me no end because they did not exist in 1979.
With condoms. Yeah.
Yeah, along with condoms. Well, you had Geronimo, didn't you? Like Fred Brewster had.
Yeah, Geronimo.
It's like getting in a bath with your trousers on, but it didn't stop me. Hey! They're there after they have sex.
That's such a deep cut. I'm so happy.
That's the second time I've mentioned Fred Brewster
John,
in this podcast.
Can I ask a serious question at this point? Who is this for? Who are we talking to?
I don't know.
If you're out there, thank you for giving me purpose my Saturday.
I mean, I've probably dropped something that no one knows what I'm talking about, but please look up Fred Brewster AIDS advert. It was a constant of our young lives, and he was a hero.
I don't know why young people complain about having to wear condoms against HIV virus and AIDS. Look what we had to put up with. I called it Geronimo, my friend. Compared with the condoms of today, it was like wearing the inner tube of a cycle. It wasn't disposable like the modern condoms. It was designed to be used again and again. It was like having a bath with your socks on, but it never stopped me in no way.
He should be getting a bloody knighthood, not Captain Tom.
No,
Fred Brewster wouldn't have gone to Barbados. But if he did, he would have rubbered up. No harm done.
That's so cool. the proper giggles remembering that advert.
That was not me.
He saved more lives than Tom ever could.
He did.
Than Captain Tom ever
could. Did. He was talking, you know, when AIDS was big. He was a hero.
Yeah.
He should have had sex with loads of women up and down his garden.
Oh, I hope
to raise money for AIDS charities. He'd have given them legs. Not laps.
100 lengths around the garden.
That's right.
Oh my God.
He'd got a flyby. He'd have got everything. But no, nothing.
No, they didn't. Why didn't they pick him out in drones?
Why didn't
on
they?
New Year's Eve?
A picture, a lovely, beautiful drone depiction of him having sex and then washing it under the tap. Like you said, he did.
That's what they did. That was what they did at the time.
It's like getting in a bath with your trousers on. What's his name? Colin Firth as a young man, Harry.
Young baby Harry.
Yeah, he says it's the Harry, greatest yeah. event of his life. Yeah. And then he's all Hugh Grant. Well, you know, obviously I haven't had much.
Thank you for despunking me. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she leaves him a letter and then pisses off. And then we come back to present day where Sophie goes in to see Sam, Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, finally, Piers.
Mm. He's in his shed drawing.
He's an architect, so he's got a slanting desk.
Yes, slanting desk.
Doing his architecting.
Uh-huh.
As, you know, as one of his jobs.
I want her to walk in and him on the phone just go, yes, I want a door there. Okay, bye-bye. just to, you know, set the scene. If I've told you once, I've told you before. French windows. Goodbye.
I want a steeple and I want a conservatory.
Yes, you heard me right.
And I want them made of glass. Goodbye.
So she comes in and she says, "Oh, we've got more moussaka than we know what to do with."
Oh, this is my favourite Piers moment in the whole thing, because she says, "Yeah, she's got more. We've got moussaka for millions with moussaka to spare." Mm. Then, without pause, she says, "I hope you'll be proud."
Yeah.
And Piers goes, "I already am."
Yeah.
And it's like he's talking about moussaka. It's like there's no pause for breath. There's moussaka to spare. I hope you'll be proud. Oh, I am.
He should say at this point, "Look, I don't have to be proud of everything you do. You're your own person with your own agency. Get on with it."
I fucking love moussaka.
I do like moussaka. Have you got any chips?
just a little bit, some pitta wedges would be wonderful. If Piers Brosnan's moussaka just sticks with you for the rest of the film from this point on, just remembering he's probably his motivation for the rest of the film is moussaka. Mm. He sings SOS in a sad 2020 remix.
Because he doesn't know if he can face the opening, as it were. Because
even though he's living on the island for some reason in the goat shed. I think it's a goat shed.
I think it is the goat shed, yeah.
He's tarted up his goat shed, like David Cameron's little caravan.
Yeah.
Giving it a coat of fur and ball. And now he's doing architecting in it while Donna's dead. And he's got this weird, creepy fold-out booklet of photos of Donna as a child.
Yeah.
So he's sort of... I mean, he looks good, don't get me wrong. Full zaddy energy. But he's an older man and he is looking at some pictures of a teenage girl.
Yeah.
While standing next to his daughter, who looks exactly the same because they're sharing a wig, it's a bit much.
He does sing, and it's wonderful.
He goes full pub singer. It's beautiful. It's what we've paid our money for. Hit me dead when you can. Little bear, little boo, hit the boo. Ted Bovis.
Yeah.
Ted Bovis 2020.
He does a wistful cry.
Yeah. It's good though. It's moving.
Yeah. And then we go back to 1979. Now we're in Greece.
Hate going back to 1979.
Oh, I do. And then she's missed the boat. And then we have the first scene of Omid Djalili.
He has to play a foreign person in everything. It's the law.
With a hair fetish.
Yeah. He's got... It's like he has to cameo in anything that has a nondescript foreign person in.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that's not a racial slur. That is me saying he's in Sex and the City 2 as a person from a foreign land, and he's in like many other films.
Gladiator.
He's from everywhere.
He's the one in Gladiator who Oliver Reed says to him, "You sold me a queer camel."
But yes, he does. He's got a thing for Colin Firth's character. How we're reminded that
everyone's
Colin
Firth's hair.
Guy. Yeah.
Oh
no, hang on. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Colin Firth, young. It's baby Colin Firth and baby Sarsgaard are here at the moment. Right, yes.
Sorry, yeah, they haven't got there yet. You're getting ahead.
I'm racing ahead to the, yeah. to the old cast.
Because he stalls for a long time.
Yeah.
Looking at her and saying, you have grown your hair. It looked better when it was short.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, like you say, he plays this character now. In the 80s, it was Alexei Sale.
Yeah.
And in the 70s, it was Naeed Sahawala. He was Rent a Foreigner.
Yeah,
then just Alexei generic Sale foreign did character.
And fair yeah. play. I mean, he's a nice man and he should get the gig. But
absolutely.
It's some local casting.
But I think this was supposed to be a really funny running joke, but it's not. It's quite boring.
Yeah. They plant a couple of those in this, don't they? That are just, yeah.
But like, as she's,
oh, sorry.
No, because I was going to say, as she's chasing after the boat, all her underwear falls out.
Yeah, that's creepy as fuck, isn't it? When it, like the we first meet young Bill, Junior Sarsgaard, and he's picking up her nick, going,
And then he says, "Oh, I could give you a lift."
He offers her a lift on his boat, which has a sleeping quarters. Which I'm like, how far away is this island that they're having this conversation? She's like, "Oh, I'll sleep in here. I'll sleep in here." And it's like that day boat presumably doesn't travel all night to this island.
There will be a Netflix documentary about this bloke.
Yeah.
But he's got two beds. Only one of them's good.
Yeah. Again, this journey is like half a mile.
And he sort of implies that he'll give her a lift if she has sex with him.
Yeah, basically.
But that doesn't happen yet. Because he tells her that you have one of those smiles that makes the rest of the world smile too. And she says, "You're one of those seducers that is a creep, basically."
And yeah, it's not. He's not so much a seducer as more like, you know, whoever produces Bang Bus on Pornhub. What? It's been a quiet lockdown.
Okay. Yeah, he's got the Bang Boat.
He's got a bang boat.
Yeah, yeah. He literally has. I mean, he still has when he's older as well, by the way.
Yeah. Ass, grass, or what's the phrase? Ass, cash, or grass? It doesn't work in a British accent.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What American truck drivers used to have on the back of their trucks. Ass, cash, or grass.
Right.
No one rides for free is essentially the gist of that. Yeah.
Okay. So that means he takes donkeys and cows for money.
Yes. Yeah. That is the ass that is implied.
And so he then sings, "Why Did It Have to Be Me?" Which is really.
And is this an ABBA song?
Apparently, but it was really bland. But what she doesn't know is that young Harry has followed her to Greece, but is also stalled by Omid in the booth.
Yeah.
Who also says that his hair is nice.
Yeah.
And then he has to watch as she sails off with Bill and he laments it.
Oh. Yeah, is Harry on the boat?
Oh.
It's a popular film of the 90s, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're doing deep cuts.
We've got an open door to deep cuts.
Sure. Yeah.
But on the way, they help a stranded fisherman, Alexio.
This is mad. Oh. This story comes from nowhere, goes nowhere, does nothing.
No, just I think it's to just the point a film.
I thought he was Senor Fuego.
I did.
For ages. I think the first four times I've seen this film, I thought it was young Andy Garcia, but no.
It's too sexy for young Andy Garcia. All the other way around.
He's very bronzed, isn't he?
He is. But they then help him ruin a wedding because he's the love of his life is marrying another man, which suggests that she likes that other man a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like she's been forced to do it, but he arrives at the dock, thanks to Bill. And then says, "I love you." And she runs away from the wedding and jumps in the water because it's another people like jumping.
People jumping love water. Jumping in water.
And then it turns out neither of them can swim. So Bill has to take his top off.
Yeah.
And jump in the water and help them.
Young Bill.
Young Bill, that is. And then we cut from that back to the present day. And Andy Garcia is not happy as his happiness sailed many years ago. His love.
Ring.
My love left me and will never return. I have made my peace with pain. Stares off into the distance and says,
ding, 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 ding.
Stares off into the distance and then says, "A storm is coming." I thought, Terminator's coming. Cool.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
And he can see his character. He's both a time traveller, a ghost, and a dog.
Awesome.
Because he can sense storms are coming before humans.
I want that film. He's been sent from the future to make sure this wedding happens. I mean, this hotel opening happens.
Yeah, exactly. You can't remember what the thing is that we're supposed to be getting excited about because she's too busy remembering how her mum had sex with three strangers.
Oh, so then in the past, Donna arrives on the island and after being dropped off by Bill, who has to leave for a sailing competition, but will return in 3 weeks. And so she finds this warehouse, this farmhouse is abandoned and then sings, "I Have a Dream."
Yes.
She and destroys sort of trashes, it more.
She trashes a hotel in a sort of way that's meant to be charming, I think.
She slides down the banister of stairs and the entire staircase collapses.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. Mm. And then there's a storm and she starts laughing, like Partridge would say, "You're laughing at the weather."
She's that kind of free-spirited, awful woman who laughs at weather and sex pests and another thing, yeah.
And will be found in a rolled-up carpet on the N25.
Yeah, exactly.
Then she finds a spooked horse.
Yeah, it was a metaphorical spooked horse that is meant to represent Pierce Brosnan's sexuality, or hers, or someone's.
He arrives. Now, I've got an issue with this as well. He arrives on his motorcycle, but when we saw him in the past in Mamma Mia, he had long hair and a handlebar moustache.
Yeah.
He does not.
I know, that's a real, it's a real shame, because he looked like Evel Knievel, and it was kind of hot.
He looked like, was he Duke Kaboom from Toy Story 4?
That's exactly what he looked like, yes.
I want him to look like that.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking when I was thinking Evel Knievel. I'm like, surely that was based on someone. No, it's just his own thing. Maybe Duke Kaboom was based on... Pierce Brosnan's flashback.
Yeah. Undoubtedly so.
But it's a good look.
It's to the detriment of this film, though, because it would be more interesting if Harry was a punk.
Does he go away, and when he marries his wife, and spoiler of what happened, he doesn't marry Donna immediately, he marries her later, but in the intervening years, he did have a helmet and a handlebar moustache. Yeah. Then how would Donna know?
Exactly.
God, the continuity in this is mind scramble.
He's like Mr. Brown from Paddington. He's got so many hidden looks.
Oh, yeah. I keep thinking he's in this. He's not, is he?
No, he should be, though.
He should be. It feels like the kind of thing he'd be in.
Yeah. So he tells her that they meet. He calms the horse.
Yeah, so it's raining. Mm. There's a storm. The storm represents emotion. The storm is happening both now in 1979 and in the present day.
Yeah.
There's a great bit where Piers and Sophie very dramatically run to hold up just like a sort of flag. Yeah, it's like, it's nothing. If it fell over, you pick it up and fight. It's fine.
But grab the rope!
Oh, God!
It's some bamboo with a cloth on it.
And they're, like, swaying and hugging each other with this, like, massive amount of emotion, like they're holding up, like, their own house or something, and it's just a flag.
Jesus
Christ. Like, it's like an awning.
He tells Donna that he's run away from his life as an architect to have a break and
find himself. Young Piers. Young Piers is nice casting, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, no one's Piers, but they should have put contact lenses in him.
They should have de-aged him.
Like in The Irishman. Piers played himself. It's creepy enough, his scenes with Sophie, who was meant to be his daughter, without him also playing his own. Because all the blonde women look so much like each other, you forget if he's meant to be in a scene with his dead wife, his daughter, or his dead wife from the past, who is a different actor in the same wig.
Or just made him 100% CG.
Yeah, if they'd like Luke Skywalker to him.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you know what? No, scratch that. Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, yeah.
Baby Yoda, if Baby Yoda had played young, and I don't care what his real name is.
It's Grogu.
Yeah. Do you know what? That was the best. I mean, this is a complete sidebar.
Well,
because I know we really need to stay on track with this thing. But the best thing I ever did in lockdown was when we watched the first episode of The Mandalorian, was deciding that Baby Yoda was a creep, a creepy little pervert.
Yeah.
Like just peeping and fiddling. And honestly, once you've decided that joke with your 8-year-old child and then you watch the whole of The Mandalorian, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Never stops being funny. And then when he starts doing creepy things, it's honestly, I highly recommend it.
Can imagine him turning up at dogging and just sipping that soup, watching.
Oh, he loves to watch. He likes violence. He loves to watch the violence.
Eats eggs.
Loves. Is that a spoiler?
No.
I don't know if it's a spoiler or not. Yes, but yeah, when he ate them eggs, I was like, everything I thought about this guy has just been...
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, you can cut that bit if you want, because no. God knows we need to keep on track.
Yeah, so they...
Grogu. Yeah, yeah Grogu is playing Piers Brosnan in the past. Mm. Yeah, 1979 Sam, baby Sam.
Mm-hmm. Donna has no plans, but I've written here, she has no plans, but she went to Oxford, so she'll be fine whatever she wants to do.
Yeah, she'll fail upwards.
Probably. Yeah, exactly.
I think someone just gives her a hotel, which is very...
They do. Very Oxford.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But she goes to a local tavern with Sam and meets this guy called Sophia, who sings a song. Yeah, I was thinking, is that his real name? Is that the lady who owns the tavern? No, it's the bloke.
I thought Sophia was the far too kind Greek lady.
He gives her
a hotel. Is that not Sophia? Again, really crap. Oh, it explains why the kid's called Sophie. I just got that. Okay. I thought it was like, that's terrible to have two characters with such similar names in your script, but maybe she's named after her or him.
No, you're right. Sophia is the lady. Lazarus is her son. Okay. I'll scratch
Lazarus. Yeah. Of course.
So Donna and Sam go to a local tavern. She befriends the owner, a lady called Sophia, and her son Lazarus is in a band. And they sing her a song, and he's got a wireless microphone. Mm-hmm. So then she says, I'm in a band. And I thought, are you in a band? You've sung at Oxford and jumped off a barge, but okay. So then she then goes up, they then say, you should go up and sing a song. So she sings Adante.
Yeah, that old famous ABBA song.
Everyone loves that one. She should have done Chicken Tikka.
Chicken Tikka, you and I know.
So then after the song, her and Sam have sex. And they go out in a boat, and he says to her, I thought last night was miraculous. Miraculous.
Wow. Is that meant to be a hint that that is the fuck that made the baby?
I don't know, because Harry said it was the greatest night of his life.
Maybe she's just really good at sex.
I guess that's what I've written here. She must be very good at sex.
Yeah.
So then we cut to present day and everything's been ruined after the storm. And Sophie wants to cancel the opening party as no planes of all the guests will be able to fly. Yeah. No ferries are running, even though there's no storm now.
Yeah.
And we see later boats are fine. But Pierce, he says everything will be fine. Don't worry.
It's really at this point, yes, it would be a good idea to cancel your hotel opening. If you wanted there to be press and people and guests who might come and book and stay at your hotel and that kind of thing, that would be a good idea to just postpone it. There's literally no jeopardy at all in postponing your hotel opening at this point.
Does she live on Wonder Woman's Island?
We talked about this for the first one. Yeah, we do. Maybe there's only like a portal that opens to the outside world every like 20 years or something. It's like Brigadoon.
Frigadoon.
Nice.
And then Pierce says, it'll be fine. You need to say something like, I know about letting... You're not letting your mum down. I did that once.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to 1979. And Donna wakes up early in the morning and sings Name of the Game. She runs around in slow motion, gets some oranges, and a goat watches her fall out.
She gets some oranges in such a complicated, annoying, Amelie kind of way. Like, it's really... sort of manic pixie dream girl-ish sort of falls over getting some oranges. Like, just get some oranges.
And at this point, she falls out of the tree. A goat looks at her. She looks at the goat, and I'm thinking, knowing Donna as we do at this stage, does she fuck the goat?
Do you know what? The goat's really hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, again, it's been a long lockdown, but that goat's got something.
That goat is the goat.
I think that goat is the goat in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes back to Sam's shack.
Yeah.
Because he says, casually tosses out, oh, I've got a shack on the island.
That's right. Oh, that's where he's living.
Mm.
The same shack. Has he got a slanting architect's desk there now?
Maybe that's why, yeah. But he
give it a runway!
Yeah, yeah. I told you before, I want the summer house at the top of the house.
I want a fully and a ha-ha. I don't know what architect. That's some gardening, surely. I don't know.
I want the dadu railings on the floor.
Yeah.
So then he's in bed asleep. So she then goes to make some orange juice.
Yeah.
With her fresh oranges and uncovers a photo.
Yeah.
In his drawer of a lady who she calls a beautiful lady.
Yeah. Because a 6-year-old wrote this script.
Yeah.
There's a photo of a beautiful lady.
Beautiful lady, dear. And then he's devastated that she's found it, and then he admits that he's engaged. And so,
yeah, I mean, he could have just said that was my ex or my sister, or there's any amount of lies he could have told at that point.
But he's an honest man. He's a good man, Sarah.
Oh, he is. He's Piers, isn't he?
So then they sing "Knowing Me, Knowing You."
Yeah.
And he gets to do the aha bits, but doesn't go, aha, I would have done.
Do you know that this is a deleted scene for our Piers?
No.
Yeah, this is heartbreaking. So Piers has very little singing in this film, and I think they've really... Fools who made this. We love Piers' singing. It's what we're here for. I found the deleted scene because I have nothing better to do with my life. The deleted scene is on YouTube, and I think it was not cut because of the singing. I think it's because it's very confusing to the plot as to why Piers Brosnan is now singing "Knowing Me, Knowing You," and it's essentially he knows his daughter Sophie just like he also let down Donna in the past, and they all know each other. But Sophie then says to him, can I play? I don't know if this clip will play, but can I play you a clip?
Yeah, please.
And let's see if it plays through my headphones. So essentially the line is, so it's Sophie in the now, in the present, saying, I'm worried that my husband, Sky, who is in New York doing the hotel management thing, I'm worried that I ruined things with him. And also I feel like my relationship with you, Piers Brosnan, my father, is strained. So the line is, I've not just blown it with Sky, I've blown it with you as well. And she sings this in the middle of "Knowing Me, Knowing You," and then Piers Brosnan starts singing. But if I really hope this plays, and if not, you'll just have to like find the clip and play it in. But so this is what we hear.
It's not just you, I'm blowing it with Sky too.
Oh, Sophie.
I'm pushing him away.
But at times like this, I wish you weren't quite so like your mother.
Oh God.
And then he goes straight into singing.
So she said she's blowing her dad and Sky.
Yeah, at the same time. It's
very close family.
It's such a and it's like no one went, should we do that line again? Yeah. No, let's just leave it because the next thing we're gonna hear is Piers singing.
He should turn to the camera and go, chance of me a fine thing.
And that's end of part one of this episode of Smersh Pod. We'll be back later in the week with part two. So please stick around. But in the meantime, why not like, subscribe, review, enjoy, share, tell everybody you like. And, you know, why not even buy Thunderbook? Hey, why not? See you next time.
I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.